The scripture today is Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her 6th month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you bow your heads and pray for me with me? Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable to you. You, O Lord, are our strength. You are our Redeemer. It is you that we celebrate, and especially in this really beautiful season of the year, when we are reminded of your love and your grace. I pray that these familiar stories, this familiar scripture that was read this morning, could be made fresh and alive in our hearts this day, that we would continue to gain your wisdom and apply it to who we are, that we too would be your disciples. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, first, I just want to sort of give honor to our band. Wow, wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that just wonderful? Such a great thing. Chloe Ramick, wow, thank you. That was beautiful. I'm so grateful. You know, this season is so much about music, wouldn't you agree? And so we're so blessed as a church that is in place. And it just, last week we had this wonderful cantata. If any of you are here participating in that, that was fantastic. And to have that in a different form this week is wonderful too. I like being in church where everything is celebrated. And I'm really grateful because you're helping me get ready for Christmas. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get on with it. Like I know we've got 4 candles and we've got to wait. And you know, I appreciate what Megan said. And I try to be that person too. But the other night I was wrapping Christmas gifts. And can I just say that someone may have been extra thoughtful this year in his gift selection to others? I don't want to point any fingers at anybody who was extra thoughtful, but it may be the case that when I wrapped the Christmas gift, I was so excited that I took it. I wanted to take it upstairs and say, "Go ahead and open it, because it's really going to be good. Like, you're going to be really super happy." But I did not do that thing. Why? Because if you do, then what are you going to do on Christmas? Right? So I don't know if you're a Christmas Eve person or a Christmas morning person, but you know, whatever that is, like if you just go ahead and do it all now, then you've got nothing left. And as a preacher, as a pastor, you know what I want to talk about today? I want to get right to the cradle. I want to bring in the wise men and the shepherds all at once, and I just want to do the whole thing right now. But you can't, because if you do that, then what are you going to do on Christmas Eve, right? And so I was frustrated about this, and I had a little talk with Jesus. That's what the old hymn says, right? Just have a little talk with Jesus. And I was like, "Come on, can't we just get on with it?" And he's like, "No." But he said, "You better get it right on Christmas Eve, because some of those people are going to invite their friends and their family. And so if you bring somebody on Christmas Eve, I will do my level best. Any sermon you hear here on Christmas Eve, we'll do our level best to preach and speak in such a way that we will help bring the blessing of Christmas to those who have held faith for years and years and years, and at the same time, give a really clear explanation of why Jesus is so important in the life of someone who's never accepted him. And those are the two things we're going to try to do on Christmas Eve here. And through music and message, we're going to try to make that happen. So if you'll invite people, we'll open the gift of Christmas at the right time. So then I was like, okay, but if I'm not going to do all that this morning, what should I talk about? And the Lord said, talk about my mom. And I said, "Your mom He's like, yeah, my mom. I said, yeah, again, let me say, your mom? And he said, listen, my mother is the most amazing disciple that ever lived. More than Peter, more than Paul, more than any of them. He said, you realize that she believed in me before I was born? When the world hadn't even heard the message, my mother was already believing. He said, you realize that she carried me for 9 months, she gave birth to me, and then she and my father nurtured me, but she was there the longest. And she watched me grow up, and she encouraged me to do my first miracle, and she watched me throughout my ministry and is present. And he said, you realize that my mother stood at the foot of the cross and watched me suffer and die? What would that be like for a mother? And then she went and was with the disciples. And having seen my tomb sealed, she was present when I appeared to them. And when she died believing that her son would usher her into the gates of heaven. Why don't you just talk about my mom? And I've been thinking about Mary this week and what an amazing and remarkable human being she is. I mean, this is quite a woman. And I've been thinking about that in the context of how she gave her life to God, because what I'm aware of is that many of you are serving God in many ways, and I think that Mary has something to say to you. And if you're somebody who came this morning and you are serving in some capacity, maybe with your family, or maybe through your work, or maybe in volunteer work you do, or maybe service here in the church, and you're a servant, I bet there are times when that's hard. And I want to talk about what Mary teaches us about servanthood to God. Because the passage that you just heard read this morning, that Liliana just read, she read it in Spanish, many of you read it in English. And no matter what language you're in, it transcends every culture, every race, and every language. It's just that good. That even when I hear it in Spanish, it still resonates with my heart in English. And this Mary is like nobody that we have ever met. And when I think of Mary, I'm amazed by the servanthood that she has, because the angel appears to her and the angel says this, do not be afraid, Mary. And why does he say do not be afraid? Because this is the angel Gabriel, this is the angel of angels, and he's standing before Mary, and she's looking up at him, and she's like, hey, it's all good, don't be afraid. And we like, I don't know, bright lights, what do you think, yes? Right, because if there weren't bright lights, there should have been, so let's just build them in there. Luke doesn't tell you that, but it should be that way. Don't be afraid, and she's fearful because, you know, thinking, like when we see this, doesn't it look ever so nice? But when God actually speaks to you, it's usually not that simple. It's usually not like, oh, how nice. And so the angel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Listen to me. Listen, Mary, you found favor. You found favor with God. Does it ever occur to you that when you're called to servanthood, you've actually found favor with God? Have you ever thought about that way? That when you're asked to do something, when you get a calling in your life to do something, it means God is favoring you. See, a lot of us, we experience our calling and our servanthood as a curse, right? It's like, you're not going to make me do that. And what if it's not a curse? What if it's a favoring? What if it's not because God wants to get something out of you, but God wants to build something into you? You're going to conceive, the angel says, to Mary. Think about this. You're going to conceive, and you're going to give birth to a son, and you're going to call him Jesus. It's just a remarkable calling. And I'm so tempted just to say, again, to just rush into Christmas and say, well, the name Jesus means, and, you know, just go on and bring out the cradle, and 9 months goes by like this. But I want us to just look at Mary and notice how Mary is being called to give her entire life to God. Because would you not agree that the birth of a child fundamentally changes your life? Amen? Right? It doesn't matter if you're a parent or not a parent. We all have sense enough to realize that. And so this is not done lightly. And what Mary teaches us about servanthood is this.
All service includes sacrifice. All service. And you know what many of us, what I want sometimes? I want to serve God. I want to be able to say, you know, Lord, I'm serving you here, and I want no sacrifice whatsoever. In fact, I want it to be happy, fun service. I want to say, God, give me service. I want to be your servant, but I've got these hours, and it would be nice if it would use my gift mix. You know, I've got this and this and this. Make sure, listen, I'm not going to be able to do that. That's just not me. Can you imagine Mary looking at the angel saying, you know, that's not going to be convenient over the next 33 years. All service that's real, that's legitimate, includes sacrifice. And we live in a culture which is so fearful of sacrifice that the people who make the greatest sacrifices, we don't even honor them half the time. Soldiers that we send off to war for 13 years at a time, they come back and nobody remembers who they are when they're homeless in the streets and suffering from PTSD and everything else. We live in a culture which wants to outsource sacrifice. And what I want to say to you is, as a Christian, that's just not how it works. If you want to be a Christ follower, if you want to be a servant, if you want to be a disciple, you've got to learn what Mary teaches. All service involves sacrifice and setting aside of things that are important to you and things that you love. And I'll give you an example. There are some people sitting among us today who are doing this every single day. And here's one example of this. Some of you have parents or family members that are getting older and you're having to take care of them right now. And I know you. I know I can, in fact, I could right now point to some of you and say, and her, and him, and her. And so this is a broad example that many of us, and listen, if you're not doing that right now, heads up, it's coming. Right? Yeah, some of you are laughing like, oh, yes, it's coming. Yeah, listen, and you know what? It's not always going to be fun. And some of you are actually driving into other states because you've got a relative that you're taking care of up north, out west, or down south. And it's life-changing for you. It's life-changing. Why? Because that person needs a little more help, a few more resources. Decision-making has to be done. Services have to be located. People have to be found. Because if you don't do it, that person is going to be in big trouble. And listen, you're not doing it always because they were the best parent. I mean, some people have a really nice story where they help a relative because the relative was really good to them. There's, oh, my mom was so good to me. I'm happy to give back to my mom. But actually, many, many people don't have that story. Many people have a story of a parent that was not attentive of you as you are now being of your parent. And why are you doing it? You're doing it for one simple reason. You think God's asking you to do it. And what I want to point out to you is this. It's going to include sacrifice, and I know that. And I want to honor your sacrifice this morning the way I'm honoring Mary's sacrifice. Why? Because here's the trick about servanthood. You have to embrace the sacrifice. You have to just put your arms around the sacrifice. You have to lean into the sacrifice. You have to say to yourself, you know what? It's not necessarily what I would have chosen. It's not necessarily what I would have done. It's not how I... Listen, Mary was engaged, right? She was engaged. Don't you think she had a whole script in her head about how her life was going to happen? Don't you think so? Do you think it included, in her culture, in her time, getting pregnant, which was not just a life-altering event, it was unbelievable. It's unbelievable. In fact, she asked she told Luke, apparently, because it's recorded, and Mary lived a long life. I asked the angel, exactly how is this going to happen? And the angel said to me, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born of you is the Son of God. And in that moment, Mary's getting this calling, and Mary's got a script in her head about how life is going to be for the next several. Oh, I'm going to marry Joseph, and then we're going to rent an apartment, and then we're going to settle down, and we're going to save our money, and one day we'll have a town now. And then she had the whole script in her head, right? Maybe not exactly like that, but close, right? I don't know. Maybe it's an upper room. I don't know. But you got the idea. I mean, she's a human. She's got this, right? And now he says, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. And she's going to be an unwed, pregnant woman in the first century in Palestine. Do you understand the cultural ramifications of that in her life? Listen, today in the world, there are places you can go where families and villages still practice what's called honor killing. Two words that should never be put together, honor killing. Honor killing, in case you don't know of this, honor killing is when often a woman, almost always a woman, does something that is displeasing to her family, something like becoming pregnant out of wedlock, and there are some other examples. And because that brings shame to the family, they commit a homicide against their own daughter. And that's being done in 2015 in certain parts of the world. Trust me when I say this was highly possible to Mary in Palestine in the first century. Why? Because read the Hebrew Bible and you can find certain places where if a person wants to justify bad behavior, they can do it. At worst, it's that. At best, it's just ostracism. And it's not just for the 9 months while she carries the baby. She's going to hold a secret. Because see how it says, the angel says, and the one who will be born will be called the Son of God. Okay, that's a secret she's going to hold for the rest of her life. Now, she eventually told Luke and everybody else about it. But picture Mary when Jesus is 5 years old and she's in Nazareth and she's leaning on the fence at the playground. And there are other moms next to her. And the first mom is here, and the first mom leans over and says, Mary, guess what? She says, what? She says, our son is reading. And it's just amazing, and I don't know where he gets all this intelligence from, but it's remarkable. He's just remarkable. And then the next mom kind of hears that and goes, you know, I didn't want to say anything, but since you've opened this door, Sarah, our Sarah, you see Sarah out there? Yeah. She plays the lyre like you can't believe. She just picked it up. She just has a way. I don't know. Next mom is down here. She goes, do you see little Samuel out there? Samuel's drawing, and it's not just like stick figures. It's really pretty remarkable. And Mary is back over here, and Mary's silent. But you know what Mary wants to say? My son is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. Sometimes when he breaks toys, he does miracles and fixes them. And I don't know where he gets it, but he has it. But she can't do that. She can't ever do that. She can't ever do it. She's got a secret. And listen, do you know the hard thing about holding a secret? Is the loneliness. Our secrets are our lonely spaces. Because we're the things we don't share and we feel we dare not share. And anybody who holds a secret has a space of loneliness, and Mary's going to have one until Jesus is an adult. And all those years, she serves. All those years, she gets up believing what this angel has told her, that this child is like no other child. And so when she looks back at the angel, this is just a remarkable moment in this woman's life, and I really want you to learn from Mary. I really want you to learn from Mary. Listen, you've got to lean in and you've got to accept the sacrifice of your calling, because if you don't, you'll always complain and grumble about it. You'll always complain about it if you don't lean in. You'll always go, well, I got to go take care of someone. It's hard, really. I don't want to do it, but I got to do it. Because here's the deal. The sacrifice you don't embrace is the sacrifice that you will resent. Does that make sense? And there is nothing worse. There is nothing worse than servanthood with grumbling. Servanthood, right? Well, somebody's got to make the Christmas dinner. I'm glad, so glad you could all make it. Please sit down. I've been working all night. Well, thank you for that. Ho, ho, ho. Right? Here's my point. If you're going to celebrate Christmas, lean into it. Lean into the sacrifice. Lean into the time. Lean into the effort. Lean into the gifts. Because when you lean away from it and tell us how hard it all is, guess what? It's no fun for anybody. Amen? And that's true of every bit of sacrifice and servanthood in your life and in mine. If you've got a calling and you embrace it like Mary. Because here's what Mary said to the angel. Read this with me. I am the Lord's servant. Some of y'all are mumbling. Now look, either say it or go home, all right? Say it or get out of here and go do something that'll bring you some Christmas cheer. But if you're going to sit here, lean in. Are you ready? I am the Lord's servant. Stop a second. The people online, you are not speaking this out loud. Time for you to join what's happening in here. So seriously, you're sitting at your kitchen table. It's time for you to do this. Ready? One, two, three. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. What if you embrace God's callings in your life the way Mary embraced the one in hers? But it's going to be hard, isn't it? It's hard. There's a reason we complain. Because we know it's sacrificial. We know it takes our time. We know it takes our resources. We know it takes our energy to serve in any way. And what I want you to think about that is I don't want you to think about sacrifice as sacrifice. I want you to think about it, frame it this way. Next slide. Yes is an act of courage. It really is. It's an act of courage. I mean, this young woman, some believe she could have been as young as like 14. Others put her age a little bit older. No scholar that I've read puts Mary's age older than 18. So this is a courageous young woman. Let it be unto me as you have said. That's what the old King James says. And that's courageous. And can I tell you something? There's a lot of good not being done by Christians today, not because we're not good. I mean, we're pretty good. You know what we lack? Bravery. It's not that we're not good, it's that we're not brave. And when you're brave, you do wonderful and amazing things in your personal life. And when our church is brave, that's when we bless people. You know, many of you were here back in 99 when John Yambasu spoke, and then he talked about Sierra Leone, the war, the orphans, all that. And we said, what are you going to do? And finally we said, all right, let's do something. And we took up that first offering during December. And I've never experienced, we had a $25,000 goal. If you've never heard the story, I tell it a lot. $25,000 goal. By the end of December, we had $125,000 given. And people were walking up to me, literally, and they were walking up and being like, hey, this is my year-end bonus check, and I just want to give it to the offering. I want to be a part of blessing those kids. And I would open up some of these checks, and some of them would be like $10,000. Honestly, sometimes I wanted to look at people and go, do you know what you're doing? Like, do you know how many zeros? Do I need the glasses? Or it was a remarkable, and you've been remarkable every year since then. And so, who's been blessed? All these faces, look at all these children. All these children over the years, and there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. Currently, right now, there are over, I think it's fair to say that right now you're currently actively blessing over 400 kids. I think that's right. Right now. Sierra Leone lost 25% of its health professionals during Ebola. But this past week, I received a notification with Yusuf. You see this young man? This young man, you started helping. That's Yusuf Tijan. And you started helping him either sort of late middle school, that age bracket in there somewhere. And last week, he just graduated from med school in Sierra Leone. You mentored a doctor. You did that. And you know what? It's been a brave thing that you've done. And it wasn't bad enough that we were doing that. Like, that was crazy enough. And those of you who have led, and those of you who volunteered, and those of you who have given, that was crazy enough. But then 7 years ago, and this week was the birthday of Mercy Hospital. Just a little hospital, 25 beds, but it's got a doctor, it's got medical folks, it's got a lab, it's got all those things that hospitals have. And Mercy Hospital this week, they did the tally, over 65,000 patients served in 7 years. 870 babies safely born in a sterile environment and given prenatal care to over 6,800 women. And that matters. But can I tell you something? It was brave. Why? Because there is church after church after church. I'm not talking about the world or our country. I'm talking about the churches. Church after church saying, we can't, we shouldn't. Well, if we do that, it may not. All this negative thinking, and the problem is, if you want to be a servant, you've got to be brave. And brave means risk and sacrifice, and you got to lean into the whole thing and decide if God is going to keep God's word. Amen? And if you're the kind of person that can never take a risk, if you're the kind of person that can never just get all in, you're never going to have a full life of servanthood. You're always going to be on the edge of discipleship. You're always going to have your toe in the shallow end of being a Christ follower, but not Mary. Mary should be honored because she just said, let it be unto me, as you said. And she did things that mattered. And you know, this Christmas Eve offering that we're going to take, we're also going to help people locally. Last year, we helped one family, and we talked to Cornerstones, and sort of said, okay, financially, what does it cost to get one family? And they gave us a number, and we said, let's do eight. And they looked at us like, really? And I said, you know what? When our church does something, we like to do it right. We like to make it. We are people who want to know that we gave our lives in such a way that we actually mattered to God's servanthood. And so, yeah, put us down. And so we're going to give all that away, and that's not just an act of generosity, it's an act of courage. And with these families that are coming out of rapid rehousing later on, if you want to help a family and mentor a family, because can I tell you something about helping people that are homeless? The problems that led to homelessness don't magically go away because you're paying rent. They're still there. And so we're going to have opportunities. If some of you feel a calling from God to help a family with financial planning or just relational things, or just there's going to be plenty of opportunity. We've been doing this. Restoration's been doing this with the family all year long since last December. And we're going to do it church-wide. And maybe God's calling some of you just this morning saying, I'm in. But it takes that. It takes courage. It takes bravery. That's what she teaches us. And it's true for any risk that you're taking for God in your personal life, too, because you sense that God is calling you to be available. And that bravery is such a beautiful thing in Mary. That's where her beauty is. See, her beauty, you know, there are a lot of pictures of Mary. I was in Rome recently. There are a lot of pictures of Mary. And she's always radiant. I don't know how she appeared physically. I am certain of the beauty of her spirit. And you know, once you've lived long enough, you realize that this just doesn't matter. But this, that makes a difference. And then something happened in this story, in this Annunciation, the angel left her. I wonder what that felt like. Kind of cool when the angel appears, wouldn't you agree? Kind of exciting in 1999 when you're taking up the offering. Pretty exciting when people are walking up and passing up big checks and you're like, woohoo! Year and a half later, when the business manager comes and says, you know, you're 3 months from being out of money completely and you won't be able to support the children anymore. And the angels left. Why? Because that's where the hard work of servanthood begins. Like when you first find out that somebody needs your help, you can get, there's a lot of initial energy that's kind of exciting. And it's a little bit like the angel being luminous and radiant. It's nice to stand in that presence for a while and the adrenaline that's released in that moment. But then time's going to pass and the initial stuff is, you know, it's like the couple. The couple that is pregnant and they have, you know, it's about, you know, 6-7 months in, and so they're having baby showers, and the baby shower is so fun, and the streamers are up, and people are eating sweet cake, and it's really nice, and it's really fun, and then, and as people leave the shower, and they've left their gift, and it's just so such a celebration, and as they leave, they all say the same thing, now, if there's anything we can do to help, is there anything we can do to help, anything we can do to help, and they're like, yes, yes, oh, that's really great, yes, we'll call, we'll definitely, yes, thank you, and then it's like 3 or 4 months later, the baby is 3 months old at this point, and it's 3 a.m., and the couple's now walking around the living room holding this little baby because it has the croup, and they're in their baggy sweatpants and their matted hair, and it's the third night in a row, and they're just like, where are those people now? Right? And you just, and at that moment, you really don't feel like you can just pick up the phone and say, hey, remember if there's anything we could do? Come over here and walk this baby around because I want to get a night's sleep. That's where servanthood begins, friends. Servanthood is not in the streamers. Servanthood is in the act of sacrifice that will follow up any calling which is embraced. And if we fool ourselves into thinking that it's always going to be the luminous angel, we are wrong. But here's the good news that Mary knew. Here's what Mary discovered on her journey. Here's the greatest blessing of all, and it's this: God is present when the angel departs. And you're not alone. And I want to say this to you, because as I was thinking about the sermon this week, I thought there are people in our church right now that are in up to their necks in servanthood. And some of them feel alone and discouraged. And you feel like you're just doing your thing. And the truth is, nobody really knows how much you're doing. Nobody knows what it's taking you to stay in the game. And here's what I want you to know. You are not alone because God is still with you. When the shine is worn off and the helium is out of the balloons, and when you actually start to feel bumps and bruises, and even in servanthood, not just bumps and bruises, that would be enough. Sometimes if you serve God, you're going to feel not only bumps and bruises, but punctures and wounds. Wounds of what people will say to you and how your gifts of servanthood will be rejected in various ways. I want you to know that when you truly embrace the sacrifices and service of the Almighty, you may be feeling lonely, but God is with you. And the most important thing that Mary heard was not who Jesus would be. The most important thing that Mary heard was the first thing she heard. And it was this: greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. If you're serving God right now, God's with you, and you are trusted. Get this. The Almighty trusts you to do this thing that you've been asked to do. Because your gifts and your willingness will be the greatest gift you offer. And it doesn't matter if it's something as small as welcoming your family in at Christmas, and you lean into that and you enjoy it, despite the fact that you're going to be up a little late and it's going to be a lot of work. And then, trust me, they're all going to leave and let you clean it up too. Like, that's just going to happen. But God trusts you. Or if it's something as serious as taking care of a child or a parent, or any servanthood that falls in between. Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. And I wonder if in the months when Mary carried the Christ, in the years where she bore the contempt and disdain of others, if when she and Joseph raised him, when her husband died and she became a single mother, when she saw people scorn and reject Jesus, when she saw him carry his cross and stood at the foot of it when her son was suffering and died, when they carried him to the tomb and she heard the sound of rock rubbing against rock as it was closed, and every dream she ever had was sealed inside, is it possible that these words were still in her memory? Mary, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. And I have to believe that those words were that important because she is the only person who could have said to Luke, write this down if you want the whole story. She's the only person who knew it. And maybe there's like a 2,000-year message in the bottle for servants today that Mary has sent you this morning, that he wants you to open up and read it so that you can be reminded that like her, whenever you serve God and you lean into it and you do it joyfully and you embrace it for what it is, even though you're tired and exhausted sometimes, even though it's depleting sometimes, even though you think, I'm crazy to be doing this sometimes, but when you lean into it, maybe Mary's sending you a message today, say, hey, just remember one thing. The Lord is with you. Because for Mary, that was enough. And I pray that it will be enough for you. Greetings, favored one. Greetings. The Lord is with you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.